Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are places where shadows move when they shouldn't, where a quiet unease grows into something darker. For one family, a new home wasn't just a fresh start. It was the beginning of a nightmare. Imagine waking up at night and seeing a figure in your doorway, unmoving, its eyes dark and empty, watching you. At first, you think it's just your imagination. But what happens when you see it during the day? When it follows you from one home to another? Tonight, we'll step into a story of unsettling visions, unexplained encounters, and the lingering question of what is real and what might be something else entirely. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've always been fascinated by the unknown, the things that sit just beyond our understanding. But fascination turns to fear when you find yourself living with it, day and night. I've often wondered if what I've experienced could be explained by logic, or if it's something darker, something I'd rather not understand at all. It began when I was 6 years old. My family had just moved into a new house, a twin home, modest, but with plenty of room for a growing family. I remember being excited about the move, but that excitement didn't last long. The house had a strange feel to it from the very beginning. My parents brushed it off as me adjusting to a new place, but I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone there. The basement was the worst. It was unfinished, with bare concrete floors and dim lighting that never quite reached the corners of the room. One day, while a babysitter was watching me, I pointed to a large S painted on the basement wall and asked what it meant. She looked at me with a smirk and said, "That stands for Satan." I was 6, Tony. 6. I didn't know any better, and her words struck me like a thunderclap. From that moment on, the basement wasn't just a creepy, unfinished space. It was a place of dread. I told my mom what the babysitter had said, and she fired her immediately. My mom assured me the S was left by the builders, something about marking where a staircase might go, but that explanation didn't add up. The S was painted nowhere near the staircase. That was the first seed of fear, and it didn't take long to grow. Not long after, I started having nightmares, terrible, vivid dreams about being trapped in the basement. I'd see my family down there with me, hiding under the stairs as something dark and monstrous tried to reach us. Sometimes it was one of my parents. But the worst part was always the feeling. The crushing weight of knowing there was no way out. The nightmares spilled over into my waking hours. It started small, fleeting movements in the corner of my eye, or faint noises I couldn't quite place. At first, I told myself it was my imagination, but then I saw him. I woke up one night to find a man standing in my doorway. He wasn't clear, not like a real person, but more like a shadow with just enough detail to terrify me. He had black eyes, short brown hair, and wore a white t-shirt and blue jeans. He didn't move or speak. He just leaned against the door frame, staring at me. I froze, too scared to scream, too young to know what else to do. I lay there for what felt like hours, watching him watch me. Eventually, I must have fallen asleep because the next thing I remember was daylight streaming through my window, and I told my parents about the man. My mom, trying to calm me down, told me to ignore him. "He's not real," she said, but I knew better. Ignoring him wasn't an option because he didn't ignore me. One morning, I was sitting at the kitchen table eating breakfast. The house was quiet, and I wasn't thinking about him, at least not consciously. But then, without warning, the image of him standing in my doorway came rushing back. I tried to shake it off, but that's when I saw them, his feet. He was standing right in front of me, Tony, as clear as day. I couldn't see his upper body, just the outline of his feet and the hem of his jeans. I screamed so loudly that my mom came running. When I told her what I saw, she grabbed my hand and marched me to my room. She and my dad sat with me that night and prayed. I remember their words so clearly. "If he is evil, God, please make him leave. If he is not, let us know he is here for good." I prayed along with them, tears streaming down my face, begging for him to leave me alone. And for a while he did. But the relief didn't last. My parents told me later that around this time, I started waking them up in the middle of the night, crying about brown things dancing at the end of my bed. I don't remember much about those nights, but I do recall one figure, taller than the others, darker and more menacing. It didn't dance. It just watched me. As I grew older, the experiences changed. By the time I was 8, my family decided to move. They said it was because of the traffic in the area, but I think they sensed my fear, even if they didn't fully believe me. I thought leaving that house would mean leaving everything behind, the shadows, the nightmares, the man in the doorway. But I was wrong. After we moved, things stayed quiet for a while, but it wasn't long before I began seeing something else. This time it was tall, white figures. They looked like shadows but were brighter, almost glowing. I could never see their faces, just their outlines, and I couldn't tell if they were there to help or harm. The worst part, Tony, is that they weren't alone. There were smaller shadows now, about a foot tall, moving in rows or groups like they were working together. Sometimes they would linger at the edge of my vision. Other times, they'd be right there in my room, silent but impossible to ignore. I wanted to believe it was just my imagination. I wanted to think it was all in my head, but deep down, I knew it wasn't. As I got older, the experiences became darker, more intrusive, and harder to explain away. By the time I was 11, I had convinced myself that I was imagining everything, that it was all a trick of the mind. But then came the shadows. They were different from the glowing, white outlines I'd seen before. These were black, tall, human-shaped figures that loomed in the corners of my room. There were usually 3 of them, sometimes 5. They didn't move, they didn't speak, but they felt alive. Their favorite place seemed to be near the door, standing just out of the reach of light. They were the kind of black that swallowed up everything around them, darker than the unlit room. When I stared at them, it felt like they were staring back, as if they were waiting for something. The worst encounters always seemed to happen at 3 a.m. That's when the air in my room would feel heavy, like it was thick with something unseen. I'd catch a glimpse of movement, a flicker of a shadow rushing past my bed. Once I saw what I swear was a tall black figure standing in the corner with a smaller one by its side. I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like I knew who they were. The taller one seemed female, and the smaller one, a child, a mother, and her daughter. But they weren't human, Tony. Whatever they were, they didn't belong here. One night, I worked up the courage to try and confront them. I didn't speak aloud, I couldn't, but in my mind, I demanded to know what they wanted. The air grew colder, and for a moment, I thought I heard whispering. I couldn't make out the words, but the sound was enough to send me diving under my blanket, trembling until morning. By the time I was a teenager, the shadows had become a regular part of my life. They were always there, always watching, even if I couldn't see them. I never felt alone, and not in a comforting way. The smaller shadows began to act differently. They moved in lines, almost like a procession, but they didn't seem to notice me. The tall figures, however, were different. They noticed everything. One night I woke up and saw a single shadow standing at the foot of my bed. It was so close I could have reached out and touched it if I had dared. I tried to scream, but my voice wouldn't come. It was like the air had been pulled from my lungs, and then it leaned closer. It didn't touch me, but I felt something, a coldness that seeped into my skin and stayed there long after the shadow had vanished. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night, and I started to question everything. Was I going crazy? Was this some kind of sleep paralysis or hallucination? Or was it something worse, something real? Now at 15, the experiences haven't stopped. If anything, they've become more frequent. The shadows are still there, near the door or behind it, watching me. Sometimes I'll see them move just as I'm drifting off to sleep, and it's enough to keep me awake for hours. And then there's the paranoia. Even when I don't see anything, I feel like I'm being watched. I can't shake the sense that I'm never truly alone, that there's something just out of sight, waiting. The worst part, Tony, is the not knowing. Are these things real? Are they in my head? What do they want from me? I don't have the answers, but I can't ignore the questions anymore. Am I just paranoid, or is there something far darker at play? Sincerely, a watcher in the shadows. Stories like this remind us of the thin line between what we perceive and what we can explain. On one hand, the mind is a powerful thing, capable of filling in the blanks, playing tricks on us, and shaping reality in ways that feel utterly real. Paranoia, fear, and even sleep disorders like sleep paralysis could account for many of the experiences described in this letter. The shadows, the figures, the suffocating, are they manifestations of the subconscious? Or could they be something more? Yet there's something unsettling about the consistency of this account. The figures didn't just stay in one house, they followed. They evolved, becoming more complex, more vivid, and more terrifying over time. If these were simply tricks of the mind, why do they seem so intent on interacting, so aware of their observer? Some would say this is a classic haunting, a dark attachment that clings to a person rather than a place. Others might argue that what this listener experienced were echoes of something unfinished, spirits searching for resolution, or worse, feeding on fear. And what about the man in the doorway? His black eyes, his casual stance. Was he a guardian as the family prayed, or something malevolent, momentarily banished but never truly gone? The timing of his appearances, the whispered coldness of the shadows that followed, and the oppressive air at 3 a.m. leave us with far more questions than answers. In the end, we're left with one haunting truth. Whether these experiences are psychological, supernatural, or somewhere in between, the fear they inspire is real. And sometimes the most terrifying thing isn't the shadow in the corner. It's not knowing whether it's there at all. So what do you think? Paranoia? The mind at play? Or something beyond explanation? One thing is certain. For this listener, the watcher in the shadows hasn't left. Until next time, keep your lights on and keep watching.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.